Our scriptures this morning are second in Epiphany, in this season of Epiphany in the church. And there's a couple of Sundays here. It's the second Sunday of Epiphany. And remember from last week, we spoke of Epiphany as a revelation, an aha, eureka sort of a thing. When you see something, but not just see it, but understand what that you are seeing. And so be it the, you know, celebrating the three wise men, or Jesus as he comes to be baptized that we spoke of last week. These are moments when the light bulb goes on and you see. I mean, really see. And that's what Epiphany is about. As we look at these scriptures today, we want to see that when we see, it's important to know just who we're seeing and how we respond to that as we look at that today. Now, Epiphany is about revelation. And God wants us to see. God wants us to know him. He doesn't want to be hidden. He doesn't want to be distant, far off. And he's proven over and over again from the very beginning, Genesis on, that he wants his people to know him intimately, closely, personally, as family. I was looking to Jeremiah chapter 31, and there it reads like this. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, that after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." It's not just, hey, know the Lord, but you know the Lord. You know him. He wants to be known. And we see that. And we celebrate that in this Epiphany season in the person of Jesus. If you want to know God, you know Jesus. God, in his most wonderful, clear way, shows to us who he is. Flesh, bone, blood, so we can really see and understand who he is. You know, if you remember when Jesus spoke to Philip. Philip was kind of maybe doubting a little bit and kind of wondering, well, when will we see you? See the Lord. And Jesus said to him in John chapter 14, Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." There it is. You want to see God. You want to know God. See and know Jesus. Now, in today's gospel reading, which is kind of the hub of what we're looking at today, Jesus is revealed as the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And there's a lot that's packed into that image. Old Testament echoes just reverberating about. And it's interesting because in a world that we see today that is obsessed with power, obsessed with might and strength, we see so much oppression, so much conflict and limited resources, where for me to have more, you have to have less, and all that. We see Jesus as a lamb. A lamb. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around lambs. They're cute little things. Wonderful little animals. A lot of fun. And, not much to them. They're small. They're cute. But couldn't stand up to a hamster, probably. They're a lamb. That's the image you have with a lamb. And so the question, as we look at today's gospel, Because we see that recognition, when you see something finally clearly, when you get that aha, that epiphany with Jesus, that recognition leads to a response. And one of the questions we want to consider today is, what is our response when we see Jesus, the Lamb of God? When he's revealed, how do we respond? Now, a big part of that answer is going to be, what Jesus do we see? What Jesus is the one that people see in us? I saw a horrifying AI something generated image of Jesus, but like really, really buff Jesus. Bulging muscle, six-pack, long flowing hair, flexing with his foot on top of, apparently it was like defeated enemies, with American flag draped across his chest. That is not the Lamb of God. But it is a popular image and thought. You know, we like to have a Jesus like that, maybe. But I don't think that is what Scripture tells us. Now, as we consider this, these things, the Jesus we present, in our response to that, seeing him, a few things we want to understand, and the Scripture today point us in a few directions. One that we see in Isaiah, a wonderful passage out of Isaiah, is this, that God calls before we respond. He is the initiator. He is the one. Right away at the beginning of that psalm, the Lord called me from the womb. What an amazing image. Before we've done anything, before we are even able to do anything for him, in response to him, he calls us. He's calling. It's kind of amazing. You know, and I can't believe I didn't think about this. My favorite psalm in the Bible, in Psalms, is Psalm 139. And I'll just read a few verses of that. The first part says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search my path. You are acquainted with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, your hand is upon me. You know, all these things that, you know, in verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God is there always, before, during, and after. And so our confidence we can have in considering how we respond to these things is that God is at work even before we're able to respond. He's working and moving and doing all these things. It may sometimes feel that this calling maybe feels hidden or elusive, slow, or I think underestimated. We consider God's calling on our lives. But in this portion in Isaiah, I mean, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away. That's interesting, isn't it? He made him, got him ready, put him in the quiver, waiting to be drawn out, waiting for his purpose, waiting. And God has it in his calling. But I think what Isaiah tells us here too is that faithfulness is not measured by visibility, but by obedience, by seeing, accepting, and following, and being formed and ready, even when things maybe aren't looking like anything's getting done. You know, the Isaiah writes, I have labored in vain. I've labored in vain. He just seems to be frustrated. I don't feel like I'm doing anything, Lord. Am I right with you? Are things okay between you and I? Because I'm not seeing anything happening. And God's saying that's not the point. In fact, he says then, my recompense is with my God. My right is with the Lord. Not in results, not in numbers, not in trophies or people praising you, whatever it is. No. It's that simple obedience and coming to him and being faithful to be in the quiver, to be ready at his will and timing. Faithfulness. Our call rests in faithfulness, not success. Now, one of the ways we respond to seeing is this idea of bearing witness. Bearing witness and to knowing God and what he's doing. And the psalmist gushes this, right? In Psalm 40, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry. He drew me from the pit of destruction and set my feet upon a rock. And what is the response from that then? He's delivered this person, saved them, a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God, right? It's worship. Thank you. Recognizing that it's God who did it. Seeing God for who he is and his faithfulness to you. And then out of that, many will see and fear and put their trust in God. That's the response. We respond to God. We acknowledge him. And others will see that and put their trust. He says, I will proclaim and tell them. Yet they are more than can be told. You know, and it's and not just the outward acts. You know, again, people get really caught up in outward things, which are great. We need all these things. But he says, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. It was interesting when Sherry read that. I think it said pierced ear. Right? Is that what it, yeah, right. And it struck me because that pierced ear, that's an image of when a slave could be free, but chooses to stay with a master, they would have their ear pierced as a sign of submission to that master. So it's not about the things we do. Again, submission to God, commitment to following him. And we tell these things. The psalmist waits and the Lord acts. We come to him with patience, faith, endurance. We see what God has done, that God delivers. I can look at every person here and know that you have stories, have seen God work in your own lives, in the lives of friends, of family, of those around you. And that is the witness that we bring to people as we speak of these things. But we understand that deliverance that God gives should lead to testimony. I have told the glad news. You know, when we have good news, we love sharing good news, right? And my goodness, I get excited if I find a $20 bill that I didn't know was in my wallet. And I tell people about it. You wouldn't believe what happened to me today. I found 20 bucks. Now, if I can be excited about 20 bucks, man, how much more should I be excited or willing to speak of what God has done in my life? Over the last nearly 60 years, folks, for me, I've seen God do so much. I've seen God save people. I've seen God deliver. I've seen God change hearts. I've seen God heal. I've seen God work out situations that I thought were impossible. And I wonder sometimes, how much do I speak of them? We want to make God's work a part of our just normal conversation. Now, I understand there's an element of maybe fear there, you know, speaking to somebody that maybe doesn't know Jesus, has not been open to that. And then speaking in terms of, boy, God really blessed me today. or God did this, or, oh, you know, baby Henry. It's amazing how Oliver came through and was available, and he's holding out right now. Thank God. And people may nod their head, and it may seem strange. Some of them might even sniff their noses and dismiss those kinds of things. I understand. I do. But the more we do that, the more we're just in our normal living, day-to-day life of making, sprinkling praise to God, we will be leading people to the Lamb. I think for the Christian, when God acts in our lives, silence should not be an option. Like any good news, we want it to be known. And so we get to the heart of the matter. Here we see in today's Epiphany moment, Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now right away we see John the Baptist turning the attention away from himself and to Jesus. Here's one who ranks before me, the one who was before me. He's greater than me. I baptize with water. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit. This is the Son of God. And that ought to be our posture too. Not me, not the good things I could do, not whatever it may be. Jesus. He's greater, he's before, he's the Son of God. Look to him. And we see in this term, Lamb of God, this signaling of things like sacrifice, redemption, freedom from sin. And, you know, for the people who heard this the first time, that is exactly what was echoing through their minds. They hear Lamb, they're thinking the small animal that gets slaughtered, blood poured out in order to make things right with God, in order for God's kingdom to break through and touch us and fill us. This Jesus is not identified by power. He's not the warrior Messiah. He's not the conquering king. He is the Lamb. Not that he's not powerful. Incredibly powerful. But power is shown not from violence or you know, external power where you push away and put people down. Jesus showed his power in healing, in feeding people, helping those on the edges of society, the poor, the downtrodden, the sick, the widows, the orphans. That is where we see his great power. That is the Jesus, the Lamb, that we and our scripture today want us to see. The question we ask here is, I think, do we recognize Jesus for who he truly is, the Lamb of God, or by what we want him to be? You know, I want him to be the Savior who will heal me and simply, you know, give me the money I need and more than I want and show his blessings in that prosperity gospel sort of sense. I want the Jesus who is a powerful ruler who demolishes his enemies, who puts them aside and makes things right. Though, do we see him as the Lamb? The sacrifice, the gentle, cute Lamb of God. And in John, we also see the response. And I love this pattern. This is a great pattern for us in our responses. We see couple disciples of John saying, you know, who is that? John says, Lamb of God. And so they followed after Jesus, and Jesus turned to them and he said, well, let me really show you some scriptures, and I will argue with you exactly who I am and why you should follow me. No. He said, where are you staying? He said, come with me, you'll see. But who are you? Just come, you'll see. Come and see. It'll be fine. Come and see. And they did. And they saw. And then the pattern then goes, one of them, Andrew, with his eyes open and him seeing and understanding who this was, immediately goes to his brother, Simon Peter, and tells him. And so he comes, sees Jesus, and then Jesus recognizes him, sees Peter, and gives him a new name. So I think we see first here that these disciples followed Jesus because someone pointed him out. It was as simple as that. It wasn't anything deep. It's just, oh yeah, that's him. That's the one you should be coming. Not me. don't be attracted to me. Go for him. That's what John did. And we see Jesus just inviting. Come and see. Invite, show, embody. You want to know Jesus? Come and see. Let's hang out. Let's do a Bible study. Come to church. And we see then an identity change of who we are, who we follow. And for Peter, it was literal name change. But for us too, we become new people, a new identity. A transformation takes place. And real evangelism, that's the pattern. There's a witness that is us. There's invitation to others. And then a transformation of God working. God working in all these things. I think we put too much pressure on ourselves when we think about sharing the gospel. Too much. We think we have to know everything. I have to know the verses. I have to know the arguments. I have to know the apologetics. I got to be able to flip through and go through that Romans road. I have to be able to argue every argument. I have to read all the good books so that when people ask me, what about evil? I can answer them clearly. These are hard things. But what we're seeing here in this epiphany is it's not about arguments or being knowledgeable. It's about seeing Jesus, the Lamb. And that's what we're called to do. And lastly, the epistle reading, 1 Corinthians 1, Paul encourages us that in all of this, as we see these things and we doubt, we wonder, we're not seeing results maybe, or in our own lives, we're not maybe not getting the results we want. We're frustrated. It's taking a lot of time. Paul encourages the church and reminds them their calling is to belong, that they're part of something bigger, that they're not alone, and they're sustained by grace, that God will sustain his church. He's going to do it. He starts off by reminding that these are a church, our church is called, sanctified, and upheld by God. God is working. God is doing it. Any doubts we may have, it's so easy to look at the landscape of American evangelicalism and think, man, things are just fracturing and falling apart. We can look at all the polls and all the stats of people not going to church, people falling away from the faith, on and on and on. And there's some concerns there. We should be aware, but God sustains his church. God calls his people. God changes hearts. He hasn't stopped and will not ever stop. And our confidence can be in him. God's faithfulness is what secures the future for his imperfect, wandering people sometimes. And in that, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear the future. We don't have to fear the words we say to point people to Jesus. We just simply do that. And God will take care of the results. We see here that this calling is not just an individualistic thing by itself. We were called into a family, into something bigger that is bigger than you. As we see in this epiphany, a few things. One, God calls us before we understand everything. We're not going to get it all, but he calls us and says, come and be ready. We see in these things that Jesus reveals himself as the Lamb who takes away our sin, gentle, self-sacrificing, kind, helpful. That is who our Savior is. And we see that our role in all of this, as we see Jesus, is to point to him, invite, and trust God to do the opening. We can't make anybody open their eyes. We can't. But God can, and he does. To really come to Christ, and all of you have come to him in various ways, different places, situations, but at the end of the day, are we willing in that encounter to say to others, here's the Lamb of God. Come and see that God. Come and see him. And see the kingdom of God in his people at work powerfully. That is our prayer, and that is what Epiphany can do for us as we see him more and more and more. Right? Amen. Well, let's stand together. You can turn in your hymnal if you wish to number 358. Hope and prayers, we consider these things, that we would anew, in a fresh way, consecrate ourselves to him. Say, Lord, open my eyes, help me to see, help me to point to you in my life. Let's sing together 358, I am thine, O Lord. We'll do verses 1 and 2.